Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And as you turn to Psalm 94, I just want to tell you how excited I am to be able to focus on Jesus these next few days. Every service we've had really this year has been focused on Jesus. But to think about the great love that was bestowed upon us at Christmas and what real Christmas is all about. And we'll be in the coming days talking about this at some length. And tonight I want to just bring a message that I think we all need to hear. It's entitled, When Trouble Comes. When Trouble Comes. In Psalm 94, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall not he hear? He that formed the eye, shall not he see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts, within me thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight you would open the eyes of our spiritual understanding, that we might behold tonight wonderful things from out of your word. For this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The 94th Psalm is one of a series of messianic psalms that look to the time when Israel will be beset by trouble. It is a time in God's Word known as the time of Jacob's trouble. The great period of time during the tribulation period where the world is set against the people of God. And there are those that believe that we're involved now in the tribulation period. Now, I got to tell you something. I don't think we're there yet. I just believe that the church is going to be called out of here before that comes upon the earth. At that point in time, the church will be removed. Because you see, that tribulation period is a time designed by God to draw the people of Israel back to Himself. At that point in time, God's program for the New Testament local church or the New Testament church age will have been consummated. Consummated by the catching away that we call the rapture. There are a lot of people who use that word and they don't even realize the word rapture doesn't appear anywhere in the canon of Scripture. It's a word that we have ascribed to what is better called in term perhaps the catching away of the saints. When the Lord will catch us out of here and remove us from the time of trouble, because the Bible tells us in the first epistle of the Thessalonians that God has not appointed us under wrath. And so we recognize that the people that are called the church are not going to go through the time of tribulation. God has not appointed us unto that. He has appointed us unto grace. But there is coming a time where God will, through great trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble, call Jacob, Israel, if you would, to himself. And that's the time that is spoken of here in Psalm 94, the time of Jacob's trouble. And you know, I believe that as we examine this psalm tonight, we can learn some great truth about what the people of God will do in the day of trouble that we must understand and we can do in the time of our trouble here on earth. The trouble that they will have is on a scale exponentially greater than anything we can imagine on earth here below. But nevertheless, we who live in this present wicked day understand that many of the things that we have read here are at work in the world right now. I had to run some errands around town, and as I was listening to talk radio, Sean Hannity was on the radio, and they were talking about this art so-called exhibit at the Smithsonian Institute, where it's this homosexual erotic art display, and a part of which is Jesus hanging on the cross covered with ants. And they're trying to say that that's a way to raise AIDS awareness. You know, these people have no regard for God or His Word. They have no love for Jesus. They have no discernment. In fact, they have been given over to a reprobate mind. And now our tax dollars, which sponsor the Smithsonian Institute, are going to support an homoerotic art display with Jesus hanging on the cross covered with ants. You know, what was spoken of here is what we're experiencing in the world today on some level. And all of us are in some measure distressed because of everything that's taking place in our world. I don't think you could say that the Spirit is in you if you don't look around and find some degree of upsetness in your spirit over the unbridled wickedness that seems to be at work in our culture. I just believe today that we're living in a day of trouble. And every person in this room, every person in this room has a degree and a measure of trouble that you would never have imagined for yourself. Perhaps it is a physical infirmity. Maybe it is a relationship problem. Perhaps it is a financial issue. It is an employment problem. I don't know what the problem is that you're facing today, but I am confident that every person in this room is having some trouble in some area of your life that you would never have thought of or dreamed of for yourself in a million years. What are we going to do in the time of trouble? Well, the people of God who found themselves or will find themselves in that time of Jacob's trouble are going to cry out to the Lord. And they're going to cry out and say, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show Thyself. And when trouble comes, I want us to remember something. I want us to remember, first of all, His calendar. His calendar. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. That the people of God are going to be in such distress that they're going to cry out to God and say, all right, it's enough already. How much trouble are you going to allow to come upon us before you reveal yourself? Okay, God, it's time now. Go ahead, show yourself to us. But we have to recognize that God is sovereign and He maketh all things beautiful in His time. And His time, His ways are so far above our ways, they're beyond finding out. And Today, I believe that we become impatient with the Lord when we have trouble in our lives. Do we not? And we cry out to God and we say, God, deliver me from the time of this trouble. But remember that God was doing something in the life of Israel to draw them to Him. And the trouble that you're having in your life is also purposed by God to accomplish His end in your life. And we may say, God, deliver me from it. But He's not going to deliver you until the work is done. We've got to say, God, whatever it is that this is coming to my life for, I surrender to Your timetable in my life. And God, if I have to go through it, be thorough. Because this hurts so bad, I don't want to have to go through it again. You know, I found myself praying that prayer a lot. God, this hurts so bad. I never want to have to go through this again. So while I'm going through this now, just go ahead on and be thorough with me. Search me deeply. Work on me exhaustively. Because I'd really prefer not to have to go through this level of pain again. We need to remember in the time of trouble that God will work when God chooses. He's not going to say, oh, what am I doing here? Oh, they're down there in distress. Oh, I didn't realize that it was such bad distress. I better get busy. And all the cries are coming out to heaven. And man, I'm overwhelmed now. I better go down there and do something about this. No, God is not going to fly into a frenzy. He's not going to be put on man's schedule. It has often been said that patience can be defined thusly. That patience is accepting a difficult situation from the Lord without giving Him a deadline to remove it. Accepting a difficult situation from the Lord without giving Him a deadline to remove it. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Because most of us, when we find ourselves in trouble, we want the solution yesterday. Right? We're not willing to fasten our seatbelt and realize that, hey, it took a long time to get us to this point. It's not going to happen overnight. God could transform that situation overnight if He took a notion to, because He works on His own timetable. But it may be a process that is longer than we would choose. And when it is, what then? Are we willing to submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to the fact that God knows what is best for us? And sometimes we think we know what's best for ourselves. But you know what? Your children think they know what's best for them. But do they really? No. Look, if it was up to me if it was up to Timothy and Phoebe to set their own bedtime, they'd never have a set bedtime. You know, they'd stay up all night playing and, you know, watching videos and goofing around things. But you know what? We have to say it's time for bed. You got to go to bed because you have to get up and go to school in the morning, you know. And Timothy got up and he was whimpering. And he said, Daddy, how come mornings always come so fast? I said, I asked myself that same question this morning, son. But, you know, he thinks it's okay to stay up late. But, you know, he doesn't know what's best for him. He's just a child. And if I let them decide what the menu was going to be, man, it would be Oreo cookies and chocolate chip cookies and potato chips and Moose Tracks ice cream. They would eat all the stuff that's no good for them, and they would think it's good for them because they like it, and they're eating a lot. They'll finish their plate. But, you know, listen, it's not what's best for them. And sometimes we want to eat chocolate chip cookies and brownies and Moose Tracks ice cream, spiritually speaking, and that may not be what we need. God knows exactly what we need. And sometimes we have to eat our vegetables, and sometimes we have to sit down at the table until the Lord says, you can be excused from this trial that you're facing. Amen? I know. It's no fun, is it? But you know, that's what they said. Lord, look, all these people are doing unrighteous things and your vengeance belongs to you. So bring it on, Lord. Okay, anytime now. Okay, show yourself now. That's what they said. Show thyself. Okay, God, it's time for you to show up. You know, look, I was robbed the 2nd of October. Linda and I were robbed. You know, and then those people came to our home, stole our mail, they put their change of address, they claimed our identity, they plundered our accounts, not once, but twice. I've had to cancel accounts that were just reopened because they came and stole the mail. They were so brazen in their efforts to defraud us. It was unbelievable. And there was a group of us who got together with Dave Hopkins, and we decided we're going to figure this thing out. And Brother Joshua and Brother Joe and myself, and we did a bunch of detective work. And this may surprise you to know. We know who did it. I have pictures of them doing it. I have pictures of them from surveillance videos at the bank. I have compared that to surveillance videos that were taken by some men in our church of these people. And I've compared them to the Department of Corrections photographs. The person has a distinguishing tattoo on their neck, and it's described in great detail on the Department of Corrections website and pictures of it. We know we have the perpetrators of the crime. I know the three addresses that they're using. We've been to those places. We've picked my mail out of those mailboxes. Okay? We know of at least 8 crimes that were committed, including forgery, mail fraud, identity theft, breaking and entering, you name it. It's all, receiving stolen merchandise, on and on it goes. And they have perpetrators that were involved, complicit in the crime and so forth. We know who they are. We know where they live. And you know what? They haven't arrested them. And you know what I'm sitting here saying? Anytime now. You know what I did? I did all the detective work. Brother Joshua helped me. Brother Joe helped me a little bit. Brother Dave Hopkins got on board with this. And when they realized what was going on, they realized that there's about 12 cases that are going to be solved with the efforts that we did. He said, Pastor Mark, you guys did the work of a whole squad of detectives. And we did, man. We were, every spare minute, you know, we had, we were trying to chase that thing down. And look, the work of the Lord wasn't suffering, believe me. It was at lunchtime and stuff. We were on the internet looking, and we discovered who it was. They interviewed people. We went on Maricopa County, every website you could ever imagine. We found everything in the world out about them. I know their name, address, phone number, date of birth, bank account numbers. I know where their tattoos are on their body. I know how many times they've been arrested. I know more about them than they know about me now, and they still have been arrested. You know what I'm saying? Any day now! I texted Officer Dave today. Any movement on our case, you know, trying to be nice about it, you know, any day now. And I know it's frustrating because here are these people, and I realize vengeance is not mine, but God has established civil government to pour out vengeance upon the perpetrators of evil in our society. And I'm like, any day now, how many more dollars do they have to steal from me? How much longer do they have to defraud me? How much more do I have to go down to the banks and mess with fraud and fraudulent activity on my accounts? How much longer? It's about time that the police would just show up and serve the cockeyed search warrant. Now look. I'm much more patient with the police than that. I realize that there's a lot more at stake. There are a lot of victims in this case. But I can understand the frustration that the people of God will be feeling at this moment. And maybe you can understand frustration because you're in a situation that you want to be delivered from. Realize that God is going to work in His perfect time. So let God be God. Secondly, I want us to see this. The Bible says, "Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage." But I want you to notice something here, if you would. That the Bible says in verse number 6, "They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard." In other words, God doesn't care about this stuff. He doesn't see any of this. It's no big. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And I want you to notice not only His calendar, but His cause. God's ultimate cause in all of this is that He Himself would be glorified. And He will be glorified even through the troubles of His people. And I want you to understand this, that the heathen that blaspheme the worthy name by which we are called, that ridicule Christians and say, don't put your God in my face. God doesn't care about my lifestyle, what I'm doing or what I'm perpetrating. The God of Jacob shall regard it. And understand, ye brutish among the people and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. You see, the cause of God is one that will ultimately bring glory to Him, for those who have mocked Him will one day have to bend their knee and confess with their tongue that He is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. And even in the time of trouble, those that cry out against God and persecute the people of God will one day have to surrender to the cause of God, and that is to give Him honor and glory. They're going to have to bend their knee and confess with their tongue that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And God will allow things to take place in our lives so that we can so be formed in the image of Christ that God would be glorified, that we would understand what it means to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we recognize today that God has a cause and a purpose in all of this. For the church, it's that Christ would be formed in us, that we come to the measure of a perfect man, to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ, formed in the image of God. Why? So that we might bring honor and glory unto Him. And so even trouble that's brought about by evil workers is going to turn when God says it should turn. And it's going to render back glory and honor to a thrice holy God. And we can count on that and know that the One who has vengeance in His hand will make all things right. We can stress and obsess down here today and say, this isn't right, this isn't good, I can't believe this is going on. God hears it. God sees it. God knows it. That's what it said. He that planted the ear, doth not he hear? And he that formed the eye, doth not he see it? And the One who is all knowledge, doth not he know it? Listen, God knows and sees, and He's going to make it right for His own good and glory. And so when trouble comes, remember His calendar. It's not always ours. Remember His cause. It will turn one day and bring glory unto a righteous and a holy God. Remember His chastening. The Bible says here in verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou what? Chasteneth. Now, look. Here He uses two words. One is chastise for the heathen. And secondly, He uses the word chasten. That's for His people. The word chasten means to teach or to train. Chastise means to punish. And so the Bible says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. In other words, the people of God, Israel, had turned their faces away from God. In fact, as we look at the dispensations in the Bible of God's dealing with mankind, especially in as it regards to the people of Israel, we see that there were periods of time that were ushered in by them turning away from the Lord. Okay, periods that were characterized by them turning away from the Lord. And then they would go into a captivity, and the captivity would be so oppressive that they would cry out to the Lord for deliverance, and the Lord would deliver them, and that would begin another dispensation of time for their nation. And so those dispensations began and ended with God's dealing with them through adversity and trouble. And what we find is that when the trouble came, it turned them back to the Lord so that they could have years of peace and quiet, where that their dependence and their focus was back on the Lord God of Israel. Their trust was back in Him and not in themselves. And so we can look at places like in the book of Haggai, as they came out of their Babylonian captivity, that they became excited about establishing pure worship and rebuilding the temple. And sometime after they came out of captivity, they began to diminish in their zeal for the Lord, and they began to focus more on worldly things and on fixing up their houses, and they neglected the house of God. And so the Lord had to raise up a prophet to cry out against their indifference, and to those who had grown at ease in Zion, that they would once again be busy about reestablishing God's program for their people. And so what we find here is that the Lord didn't want to chastise or punish His own. He wanted to chasten them so that they could learn at His hand and so that they would find rest, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. You know what God wants to do for you? He wants to give you rest from all of the stresses of the trouble that is around you. He wants to give you rest. But you know what? We have to go through the blessing of chastening sometimes to get to the point where we'll rest in the Lord. You know that we don't often see chastening as a blessing, do we? We see it oftentimes as a curse. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it's verse 5, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And every son whom He receiveth, He scourgeth." Friends, the Bible says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't resist it. Don't become angry or embittered at God having to use a heavy-handedness with you to bring you to a place of surrender. The reason why that's happening is because we have failed to submit ourselves to God and to His purpose for our lives. God doesn't with impunity chasten His kids. He doesn't just for no good reason chasten you. He does it, number one, because He loves you, and number two, because you need it. Because for some cause, you have stood in violation of the clearly revealed will of God for your life, and now God, by His grace, is imposing hardship and trouble. Why? So that you can find rest in the day of adversity. And so if you find yourself in any kind of trouble and you recognize that God is working in you to form you in His image and to teach you some things that apart from chastening you might never know, submit yourself to it and recognize that it will enable you in the day of trouble to have a measure of rest that without which you would never know. What one of us doesn't want to have true soul rest? Did not the Lord say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Wouldn't you like to have a dose of that? Sure you would. I want you to notice something quickly, and we'll finish here in just a few moments. The Bible says in verse 13, "That thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance." Would you notice His calendar in the day of trouble? Would you notice His cause? It's that He might be glorified. Would you notice His chastening? It's so that you might find rest. Or would you notice His constance? The Lord is ever constant. He's always sure. And He's made us this promise: "I will never leave you or forsake you." He said that He will not cast off His people, neither forsake His inheritance. That's Jacob. in their time of trouble, He's reminding them, I'm not going to cast you off. I'm not going to forsake you. You can count on Me always being there to be your salvation. And friends, I don't know about you, but I find great comfort in knowing that in the time of my trouble, the Lord hasn't put me in time out from His presence. He never does that. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And I've been promised an inheritance in Christ. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And so are you if you know the Lord. And the Lord will not cast you off, and He will not forsake you. He is constant. See His constance. And then the Bible says in verse 17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. That's a sad thought, isn't it? When I said, my foot slippeth, Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, Thy comforts delight my soul. In a time of trouble, would you see His comfort? And the Lord has given us His very Spirit, that when we are so distressed, we don't even know how to pray for ourselves. We don't know what to say. Then we can be reminded that in verse 22, the Bible says, the Lord is my defense. He'll be my defense attorney. When I don't know what to say, the Lord will say it for me. The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. He is the chief cornerstone to whom I can resort continually and know that He will provide me comfort in the time of my trouble. You know, Brother Jeff and Lori have another daughter, Ashley, that's preparing to be married. And her fiancé, Jake, came in to meet with me yesterday. They're going through premarital counseling. And they're dear young people. I love them. And I'm glad that they want to have a Christian home. Pray for them. But I always tell people when I'm starting out, I said, I'm going to tell you something, and you may not agree with me, but one day I think you'll see that what I'm telling you is so. And that is this. I said, Jake, your sweetheart, that makes your heart go pitter-patter, that you think is just all the world to you, she can't be everything to you. There are some places in your life that she has no idea how to touch with comfort. I said, Ashley, Jacob is a big, strong guy, and you love him, and that's wonderful. But he will never be able to fulfill you entirely. Only God can do that. And so if you're looking to each other to be the end-all for comfort and fulfillment, you'll be frustrated. You'll be unhappy. Because you'll come to the place where you recognize they're not all that. There's only one who is, and that's God. And that's why we have to have an intimate personal relationship with Him, because there will be such vexing troubles that come upon us, we don't even know how to articulate them to the people we love, much less have them comfort us if we don't even know how to verbalize what we're facing. And see, the psalmist understood here. He said, look, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. You know what he was saying? There was nobody that understood the level of my trouble. I had nobody I could talk to. And unless the Lord would have been there, my soul would have dwelt in silence. You see, God must be our comfort. And by His Spirit, He has provided for that. And sometimes we fail to learn that on the mountaintop. And so God prepares valleys for us in which we experience trouble so that we can be comforted by the God of all comfort. And you know, it's sad that we have to descend off the mountaintop to discover that. But it adds something to us that'll keep us going until we see Christ. They said, Lord, show Thyself. We can rest assured God's going to show up when He's ready to show up. In the day of trouble. Remember these things. Simple truths, really. But powerful if you find yourself in any trouble.